Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Gina R., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, September 26, 2018. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are at page 123, the fourth, which is the last paragraph, beginning, "Now and then the family will be," reading through three paragraphs, ending with, "Avert death and misery for them." Comments will be on all three paragraphs. Today's readers are 12 Steps, Carolyn D., 12 Traditions, Nancy T. Our readers will be Pia S. and Carrie S., and our newcomer greeter is Melanie C. The reference numbers for Tuesday, September 25th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting are 11,956. And this morning, September 26, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 11,964. Our OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, "Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous." I will now ask Carolyn D. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning. This is Carolyn D. Thank you for letting me read the 12 steps. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Carolyn D. I will now ask Nancy T. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, Gina. Thank you. Nancy T., recovered compulsive overeater in Lewiston, Idaho. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to be of service, and I'll pass.
And thank you, Nancy T. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 123, the fourth, which is the last paragraph, beginning, now and then the family will be, reading through 3 paragraphs, ending with, avert death and misery for them. Our comments will be on all 3 paragraphs. I will ask Pia S. to begin reading.
Good morning, Gina, and thank you for your service. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, this is Yes, I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater calling from Parkland, Florida. Now and then, the family will be plagued by spectres from the past, for the drinking career of almost every alcoholic has been marked by escapades, funny, humiliating, shameful, or tragic. The first impulse will be to bury these skeletons in a dark closet and padlock the door. The family may be possessed by the idea that future happiness can be based only upon forgetfulness of the past. We think that such a view is self-centered and in direct conflict with a new way of living. Henry Ford once made a wise remark to the effect that experience is the thing of supreme value in life. That is true only if one is willing to turn the past to good account. We grow by our willingness to face and rectify errors and convert them into assets. The alcoholic past thus becomes the principal asset of the family and frequently is almost the only one. This painful past may be of infinite value to other families still struggling with their problems. We think each family which has been relieved owes something to those who have not, and when the occasion requires, each member of it should be only too willing to bring former mistakes, no matter how grievous, out of their hiding places. Showing others who suffer how we were giving help is the very thing which makes life seem so worthwhile to us now. Cling to the thought that in God's hands, the dark past is the greatest possession you have, the key to life and happiness for others. With it, you can avert death and misery for them. And I'm so thankful for this meeting and all of you out there, and this reading really gives me so much hope for me and for my family. And I want to relate to this reading from my view as a recovered compulsive overeater. This reading talks about, you know, how my dark past can be an asset. It talks about how experience is the thing of supreme value in life, and that the alcoholic's past thus becomes the principal asset of the family. Painful past may be an infinite value to other families still struggling, and cling to the fact that in God's hands, the dark past is the greatest possession you have, the key to life and happiness for others. With that, you can avert death and misery. That is great news. I mean, that is amazing. My experience is not wasted. They're in fact my greatest possession. Being recovered, I don't really have an excuse now. There's no room for poor me all the time. Every time there is hardship, every time I experience difficulties now, I can use it to help others. There's really no darkness there anymore. All is in the open, and I can't hide behind feelings of feeling sorry for myself. It's actually a win-win situation. And if you think of it like that, you don't have to suffer anymore. But being human and an addict, I do suffer and I forget this. But reading the big book with you this morning, it really reminds me that I can never put this book away. It always has to stay with me. And I have to practice this principle that they describe every day. I must work the steps. I must carry this message. And I have to trust God and continue to trust God and trust that he will take care of me just for today. And that's all I have this morning. Thanks, Gina.
Oh, thank you so much, P.S. Okay, we will now open the lines for whoever would like to share on these paragraphs. Who would like to share?
Sunny S.
Julie.
I heard Eileen S. I heard somebody between Marin K.
Sunny S.
Shawnee S.
Lynn S.
Lynn S. And then there was somebody after her.
CJH.
All right, I'm going to stop right there. Let me tell you who I've got. I've got Eileen S., Marin K., Julie E. B., Shawnee S., Lynn S., and CJH. All right, we'll go with that lineup, and if I didn't get you, we'll get you on the next round. Eileen, please go ahead.
Good morning, Gina. This is Eileen S. I did not pipe in there, but maybe my higher power wanted me to share, so I'll go for it.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I thought I heard you.
It's okay. It's so funny. I thought, I'd like to share on that. Well, maybe I'm not going to yet. So I think my higher power communicated directly with you, so thank you. Wow, I was just thinking to myself, and thank you, Pia, for your share as well. I was thinking to myself as we were reading this, that every single paragraph in this book is so profoundly rich. And I've read the big book, but I have never studied it like this before. And it's just every sentence practically is just so profound. And the idea that my eating career has value for somebody else is kind of amazing. And that's what the third step prayer says, that victory, you know, God, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. So victory over my craziness is in the past with my higher power gives me a new life. And I have this paragraph, this painful past, I have that paragraph starred and underlined and, you know, showing others who suffer how we were given help is the very thing which makes life seem so worthwhile to us now. I, you know, to be able to say, here's what I did and have someone laugh and, or have someone say, I did this stuff and I get to say me too. And I heard somewhere, that saying me too is just the most comforting thing to know, oh my God, because I thought I was the only one who did all this stuff. I thought I was totally alone. So the fact that that my dark past is the greatest possession I have, and not just my eating, my isolating, my inability, the bedevilments, you know, my inability to have relationships with other people, the just the way that I behaved across the board, that's my greatest possession, because that's a way that I'm going to be able to connect with a newcomer and help somebody else. So, that's all I have to say. I really appreciate being here. Thank you so much, Gina, and I'll pass.
Oh, thank you, Eileen. And before I go any further, pardon me for not asking if I missed anybody. Was there somebody whose name sounded like Eileen S. that I misheard? Press star one. Okay, well, perhaps Eileen was correct and higher power did that. All right, Marin K., you'll be next, followed by Julie E.B.,
Marin, please go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you, everybody, for sharing. I love the paragraph. Is great. It talks about escapades, funny, humiliating, shameful, or tragic. The first impulse will be to bury the skeletons in a dark closet and padlock the door. Before I got into program, I had been in and out of institutions for being 60 pounds underweight. I mean, I weighed 60 pounds at my lowest, and I was a 10-time-a-day bulimic. And I had been in county hospitals, and I know that my parents felt very ashamed. I know I felt ashamed. Once I came into the program, I started to feel better because there were other people who had similar situations, and I didn't feel as bad. I know it says Henry Ford once made a wise remark to the effect that experience is the thing of supreme value in life. Yes. Because all of that time that I had, that I struggled, has helped me when I want to work with another anorexic or bulimic or compulsive overeater. I have experience with being at, you know, death's door. And I know that without the steps and the big book and the program, I never would have recovered. I still have work to do. I'm kind of a newcomer to vision. I've been in the program for 24 years, but you know, there's layers of the onion, and I have other things that I need to work through. But it does say here, in God's hands, the dark past is the greatest possession you have, and the key to life and happiness for others. So nothing that we do is a waste. Because at one point or another, we're going to be able to help someone. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Marin K. All right, we've got Julie E. B. next, followed by Shawnee S. Julie, please go ahead.
Hi, this is Julie E. B., compulsive overeater in Colorado. And what a blessing these paragraphs are for me this morning. I find that I have struggled at times with just wanting to put the past away. And one of the greatest gifts in my life is my three teenagers who remember and who remind me, sometimes even with a look on their face, and my husband who reminds me with a look on his face that sometimes these escapades are not in the far past, they're in the recent past. As I try and get back into self-will. In the food, I did everything. I became a thief. I became angry. I became raging. I became isolating. I went through so many things. But now, shameful, hiding, bedbound. And I could hide that in a dark closet. But as I talk to my family, I have the opportunity to clean house, to look at things, and to see that unlike what I'd like with my pride, which is quite self-centered, which is to bury this, I can in fact use this, and it can be an infinite value. My son is trying out for something he really wants to do. It's outside of his comfort zone a lot, and he started thinking that who he is as a person is if he makes this particular team or not. Well, where did he learn that? From his perfectionistic, self-seeking mom that defined who I was as okay based on the outside. These paragraphs give me permission with my family, with my sponsees, and with myself to know that the infinite value lies in who my higher power says that I am. And so I don't know the answers.
Pardon me, Julie, is that background noise on you, your line?
Yeah, it is. Someone just turned something on in here.
Okay.
Yeah, so lessons, but I do have a chance to say that who I am today is a person who can point people to finding their own higher power. And thanks for letting me share. And I pass.
Thanks.
Sorry about the noise. Someone turned that
That's
on.
Okay. No, thank
right.
you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Julie E.B. Okay, we've got Shawnee S. next, followed by Lynn S. Shawnee, will you please go ahead?
Hi. The name is actually Sunny, S-U-N-N-Y, pronounced.
Thank you for the correction.
Yeah, of course. I may get a little bit of background noise because I am taking a walk outside, but I'm here in Colorado, very grateful to share. And the reading, what it inspired me is how growing up with my parents, I was taught to, forgive and forget, sort of like move on, just forget what happened. And it's what I applied in my life, with all my relationships and in my family, in everywhere. At work, it was just like not deal with the things that are in front of me and just forgive and forget. And so how powerful it's been to turn that switch and say, no, this happened and I grew from that experience. And now, I found recovery and this is how it impacted. It's very humbling. And what I found is that by taking sort of like a longer route and truly just owning to those experiences and realizing the growth I've done, other people are able to see that as well. And they say, wow, okay, I have similar experiences. Let me tell you mine. And so it just connects me to people a lot more. I found myself being able to be a lot more intimate with people, but just by being honest about what happened. It doesn't look pretty. I didn't do great, because I was under substances. And so just by owning that, and I think people also see the growth after 2 years of recovery, it's just like sometimes they look at me in disbelief because I'm in disbelief. How is it possible that from this, raging and shaming person that was eating all the time, went to someone who's calm and is able to be present in parties or in a conversation, just be able to listen and not talk about herself all the time. That's just huge. And so I just think it's very powerful. I'm really happy that that's in there. But obviously, this big book is just filled with wise comments all throughout. So I'm very grateful for being able to share today, and I pass.
And thank you so much, Sunny S. All right, we've got Lynn S., who's next, followed by CJH. And then after that, we'll take a new round of folks. So get ready. Lynn, please go ahead.
Good morning. This is Lynn S., a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. The two lines that are speaking to me right now are cling to the thought that the dark past is the greatest possession you have, the key to life and happiness for others. With it, you can avert death and misery for them. That's always the way I heard it. What's missing? In God's hands. Really made me sit back on my bum this morning and just realize and remember that it's in God's hands, Lynn. Ask God first before you do something. Ask God before you help others. It was always me, my way. You want help here? I'll help you, and I'm going to help you this way, and you better like it, and you better do it, or you're out of here, or I'm out of here, or we're both out of here. And it just strikes me so strongly, and it's one of the things that I've noticed in this year in particular in me working the program, is to remember, go to God, go to God, go to God. I am still so self-willed, self-directed, self-focused, selfish, self-centered. And it's that going to God. And not only is going to God, the program, like it's the essence of the program, but especially in helping others or working with others, it takes the pressure off of me. I don't have to know the answers. I don't have to say it right. I don't know the answers. I wish I did know the answers. I wish, I could just say to somebody here, this is exactly how I got out of my 8-year relapse, and you can too if you do X, Y, and Z. But it doesn't work that way. I am just so grateful. And even though I have this underlined, I must admit, those three words, in God's hands, missed them. Thank you for letting me share. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Lynn S., and it's fun to hear you say Zed. Okay, CJH is next, but before we go with her, I'm going to just let everybody know we are on page 123, the fourth paragraph, which is the last paragraph starting with, Now and then, the family will be reading through three paragraphs, ending avert death and misery for them. We're commenting on all three paragraphs. After CJ's share, we'll take some new numbers, so you'll want to be ready to press star one. Okay, CJ, please go ahead. CJ, are you there? Press star one.
Hi, can you hear me?
There you go.
Okay, good. Thank you very much for your service. I'm really grateful to be here this morning. Good morning, all. So grateful to be here with my fellows and reading this. And I relate, the family will be plagued by specters, and that means a ghost, a phantom, a shadow, a presence, a spirit apparition, something widely feared as possibly unpleasant or dangerous. Boy, and is that how I saw my past. Don't tell anybody, definitely put it in the closet from the time I was a little girl, learning not to talk about things, learning to keep, you know, everything, quote, looking good, you know, not being able to be honest about thoughts, feelings, beliefs, judgments, and myself just, or other people, not wanting to hear it and not wanting to be heard. The miracle is, as I read this, and we come down and we read these, it's about change, you know, it's about this change. It's, let's have a new idea, just like it tells us on page 58, you know. Get honest, get a new idea, it's going to be okay. You can offer these things up now, see, and it's going to help somebody else. And this loving God in whom I put on that third step, you know, I put my life and my will into this, the hands of this incredible higher power, that at that point I was scared to death to do, you know, because where is it going to take me? What is it going to look like? What am I going to do? You know, I had a lot of whys and what's and where's, and I needed to know. But it was the pain of this thing, little by slowly over the years, has shown me over and over again, and not just with the food, but just with relationships, you know, and all the bedevilments on page 52, job, and I mean, my whole life was my problem. So having had, you know, a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps by the grace of God and wonderful people who have helped me through, I mean, I've worked the steps many times, but each time there's a little change, and this time there's been another change, and I'm in the middle of another fourth, and there's another change. And it's just a constant growing in this thing, and I'm just showing the steps here. You know, we grow by our willingness to face and rectify the errors and convert them into assets. How? By step nine, you know, coming through the steps, seeing who I am, and then finally coming face to face with myself, my God, and other people, and saying, you know, hey, I'm wrong. That idea of humility being, you know, so important. And as trying today to be someone who is not, I heard it said that a truly humble person cannot be humiliated. So that's a truth here. You know, the more I share my truth, the more I talk to others, the more I share what my truth is about my past and what the truth is, what I'm finding in this book and all those old ideas and fears and really what were all fabricated in my terrified little mind now have become those that cling to that thought that my God, this higher power, these steps, this program, this new way of living is going to be a key. Okay, and I'm just in a life of happiness and happy to help somebody else today, and not perfect, but boy, is it better. And I'm just so grateful, and I'm going to just keep coming back. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, CJ. All right, we're ready to take a new grouping. If you'd like to share on what we've been reading on page 123, now's your chance.
Freya.
Hello?
Freya.
Hello?
H.
Hello?
Your name?
Rhonda D.
Gotcha, Rhonda.
Very good.
Bruce.
Last initial.
E.
Okay, I got Sherry KB after you. Who else?
Kathleen O.
Kathleen O. Maybe one more?
Mary G.
Mary G. All right, let's go with that. And if we have time for one more, we'll squeeze them in. So here's the lineup. Freya H., Rhonda D., Bruce E., Sherry KB., Kathleen O., and Mary G. Please go ahead, Freya.
Thank you, Gina. Can I be heard?
Yes.
Thank you. My name is Freya, gratefully recovered compulsive eater, bulimic in Colorado. Wow, this reading really hit me square between the eyes because the, you know, the ninth step promise, we will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. That was the one that I really didn't like that idea. I really wanted to shut the door on the past. And as, you know, as the previous speaker just mentioned, when I look at step nine and I'm asked to clean up the past, that's where in my experience, I've really had to face that stuff. And I just had the experience this week of, looking at an amends and just writing about it, you know, writing an amends letter, just to go through the process and having all these feelings come up. And I realized that I had never dealt with it, you know, and I thought by not dealing with it, I would avoid it. And the feelings were right there waiting for me from, you know, like 20 years ago. It was kind of mind blowing. So I'm so grateful this program gives me a very clear process and support for dealing with the past. And when I read this, that, the past is the greatest possession you have. And it says several times, it says it is the key to life and happiness for others. With it, you can avert death and misery for them. It doesn't say it's going to give you everything that you want, but it's saying, guess what? You get to serve others with your past. And, you know, before recovery, I really didn't want that. I wasn't interested in helping others. And what I'm being shown here is like that. That's actually what this is all about. That I just get to totally surrender. And in my life, I've had, you know, friends and family members go in and out of recovery, and I have, for whatever reason, I have stayed in. And I just got a call from a friend yesterday who has been in and out, and I just, you know, I don't preach to her. I don't think that I know what's best for her, but I just share openly about what's going on for me, which includes my recovery, and in that way, just try to be the message, not because I think I know what's best for her, but just, you know, I just do what's best for me, and I don't try to hide it. So I'm really, really grateful to be reading this, and I think that I'll just leave it at that. I'll pass. Thank you.
Nice timing. Thank you so much, Freya. Rhonda D., you're next, followed by Bruce E. Please go ahead, Rhonda.
Rhonda D. here from Florida. Now, the past is something that I can't put a lock on it and put bury these skeletons in a dark closet and padlock the door. And I'll tell you why. My mind is something I have to fight with. Now, my higher power does love me and wins ultimately, but I get flashbacks of the past a lot, but I have to say that is not now. Today is now. This is today. We are abstinent. It is a good day, and we're going to make something out of this day. I know I've heard other people maybe suffer or not suffer from planning. I have something planned in my life, and I don't think that's bad. It's something good, but change, planning requires a change. I'm planning to have a different kind of life. It requires change. Well, change isn't exactly my favorite middle name, but idea that the painful past may be of infinite value to other families still struggling with their problem. I think it is delightful when I can say when somebody's struggling and going through many similar things to me, and I'm just saying, well, I had that. I experienced that. In fact, I have that, actually. I have that affliction. And I'm coping with it and living with it and living fruitfully most of the time with it. But something that is, it doesn't say this in this chapter, but The abstinence for me is the important thing, to accept these ideas of my past is a blessing. I wrote on an assignment one time for OA, and the lady said, write on turning your scars into stars. So I like that too, because I do have scars, but knowing that they're stars and I can use them in a good way, that does make me smile. So if the dark past is the greatest possession you have, well, I've got a great possession. So, and I've got also a new life, and I'm real lucky and fortunate. And if I help anybody, then I'm grateful. But I'm passing on that. Thank you.
And thank you so much, Rhonda D. Brucey, you're next. You'll be followed by Sherry KB. Please go ahead, Bruce.
Yeah, thanks. This is Bruce E. I'm in Western North Carolina above Asheville. And, yeah, I was going to take that stuff, that stuff from my past and keep it way back in the closet. And I was never going to bring that out. In fact, I had it, a lot of it so far back that I wasn't even going to even think about it. I didn't even think about it, but I was eating over it, but I wasn't thinking about it, you know. And there was no way I was ever going to bring that stuff out. But, you know, it has. It's come out now after 40, 50 years of keeping it back in there. And it's coming. It's out. And it's come out in the fourth, fifth step and so forth, and being on these calls and being in meetings and stuff. And I can see now how that stuff can help other people, because they went through that too or did that kind of stuff. And it says here, the alcoholic's past thus becomes a principal asset of the family, and frequently is almost the only one that says, cling to the thought that in God's hands the dark past is the greatest possession we have. It's the best thing that I have. And I can share my past with others, that I can help other people now. And man, I just didn't know this stuff before. You know, I was eating over this stuff for all these years. And now I know that I can share this stuff. It's my greatest asset, and I can help so many other people. And that's what I want to do today. Today I just want to step out in faith and try to help some people. And in any way I can. I had known about helping people from the job I had that I retired from. The company always said, yeah, you got to help other people in order to be successful. I did that, but I didn't realize that I could help other people because of these dark things from my past that have come out that I could share with other people. So wonderful program. Thanks for letting me be on the line and share. And I pass. Thank you.
And thank you for your service, Bruce E. Sherry KB, you're up next, followed by Kathleen O. Please go ahead, Sherry.
Good morning, Tina. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered compulsive reader. Thank you so much for your service, Tina, and everybody on the line, and welcome any newcomers. You know, I love hearing what everybody's been talking about this morning, and I'd like to come from a little different angle. When I work with sponsees, and also I just want to say I've gotten a lot of calls from people who say, you know, I'm really worried about giving some information to my sponsor on my fifth step about some things that have happened. And I think about this one person in particular who had some very, very serious problems where she was worried that if she told her sponsor, then, you know, she might have to go to jail, possibly prison, actually, and due to some behaviors in her past. And we had a great talk about it, and I referred her to this page because, you know, the thing is that, you know, our dark past does help other people, and it does free us up, and it does, it's amazing what will happen. And so I asked this lady to let me know the outcome, and we talked about what her situation had been and the possibilities and the outcomes and everything. And you know, she called me back and she said, you know, I gave my fifth step away, and it was amazing to me how my sponsor had some similar backgrounds, and I said, wow, is that odd or is it God? You know, here, you know, somebody had the same similar background. And so I got another call from her later on telling me that she was sponsoring and that, you know, that she had somebody had the same thing. And it's just amazing to me how God works in mysterious ways. And just when I think, too, of my own, you know, passing it on and letting people know, experience when I'm talking to sponsees and I let them know when they start talking to me about stuff, I'll tell them about my stuff. And you know what? It seems to lessen. It seems to be so huge when I've done that and they've done that. And so I always refer when I'm reading, when I work with someone, and I let them know what's going to happen in their fifth step, and then I have them turn to this page and we read it together. And it's a very powerful experience to do that because God's in there all the way. And, you know, and it just reminds me, too, about putting anything in God's hands is better than anything that I could do. And, you know, we have the word infinite again up here, which means limitless, because if I'm in finite self and I don't talk about these things, I'm limited. But in God's hands, anything can happen, and much better than I could ever dream possible. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry KB. Kathleen O., you're up next, followed by Mary G. Please go ahead, Kathleen.
Good morning, Gina. Thank you for moderating this morning. And it's so great to hear so much recovery on this line. So heartwarming. So, you know, everyone suffers when we're living in the disease. And when the addict suffers, the family suffers. And this chapter is informing the family that although the addict is on a spiritual journey towards recovery, the past issues will still be remembered and some of the memories will sting. So these sentences, the family may be possessed by the idea that future happiness can be based only upon forgetfulness of the past. We think that such a view is self-centered and in direct conflict with the new way of living. So, you know, the families are being told to heal, they must not shut the doors on the past any more than as those of us who are healing shouldn't shut the doors on the past, but rather to be willing to live in acceptance of the past and let go of resentments. And, you know, my family never read this chapter, let alone the book. And so all I can do is, you know, practice what I've learned in these steps and what I continue to learn in this book. And, you know, we, in finding a power greater than myself, working these steps, I was able to have a spiritual awakening, a spiritual experience, which really is having a personality change. Both those are having a personality change in the way I feel, the way I think, the way I act. And rather than being self-centered every day, being other-centered. And when I can let go of resentment, I'm not sure what that background is, but it's not me. When I can let go of resentments and when I can practice being humble, because embracing humility is fundamental in staying abstinent, and when I can stay out of judgment and criticism, you know, I can't chase happiness, but happiness is the result of living right, and it's what I strive to do every day. And you know, life is never perfect. It never will be perfect. But if I can remember my past mistakes, it's going to be easier for me to live the right way on a day-to-day basis. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kathleen O. Yes, and if you are not the speaker, please press star 1 to make sure you're muted. It's not so much for this line, but it's on the recording. For some reason, that background noise just seems to be amplified when people listen to it. All right, Mary G., you're next. And then if we have time, we may have time for one more share. Please go ahead, Mary G.
Thank you, Gina, for your service. And this is Mary G. in Arizona, grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. You know, when I heard these paragraphs read, I thought, oh, my painful past. For me, the first thing that jumped out was how much I used to lie to myself. I was so dishonest, and yet the mask that I wore said that I was perfect, that I was perfectly honest. It was such a value in my life to be honest. And yet I was so dishonest. I was so rationalizing, you know, that I just couldn't, I couldn't work this program. You know, it says rarely have we seen a person fail in chapter five, how it works, you know, but it says here it demands rigorous honesty. You know, we have to have the capacity to be honest. Now, for me, when I'm in the food or any addiction, I cannot be honest. I am the greatest rationalizer. Anything I do is going to be okay because it's what I want to do. When I actually put down the food and started to recover, oh my gosh, the shame and the guilt that I felt of what I had convinced myself was okay for me, not anybody else, but you know what, I'm different, I'm special, you know, just was insane. And part of the promises of not regretting the past is that I have to not, when I have these thoughts of the past, I have to say, you know, it is true. This was my past. And I made a very, very poor choice in some areas. But I have to let God use that for good. And I can't hide it. And boy, did I want to hide it. You know, just even recently, last year, I broke my abstinence after 11 and a half years of being abstinent. And it was, you know, luckily a momentarily you know, episode where God restored me to sanity very quickly. But I'll tell you, I struggled for almost a whole day, almost 24 hours, to not tell my sponsor and to not be honest. I wanted to rationalize my behavior. I wanted to say, I really didn't take back my will. I really didn't do that. You know, this is just not, you know, you can't do this after 11 and a half years. Yes, yes, I could. You know, and it was such a learning experience for me of how that disease in my head is just always wanting to lie to me, always wanting to tell me, you know, you can get away with this. Nobody will ever know. You're the only one who knows. And, you know, I'm grateful today that I just can't live like that. I cannot not be honest without risking picking up the food again for that comfort. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary G. We have time for 1 3-minute share. Who would like to take that?
Patty T.
Okay, Patty, go ahead. Thank you.
Oh, hi, everybody. It's Patty T, recovered from Southern California, and I'm so glad to hear all these shares today. I just got back from a week-long visit to my family in Mississippi where I had no internet and no cell coverage. Ha ha. And, you know, where it says the family will be plagued by specters from the past, for the drinking career of almost every alcoholic has been marked by escapades, funny, humiliating, shameful, or tragic. And also when it says above that, the old buildings will eventually be replaced by finer ones. The new structures will take years to complete. When I first relapsed 6 years ago, I made the realization of some severe abuse that had been done to me in my home under my mother's hand. It wasn't like it was a repressed memory. I already knew it had happened, but I never considered it abuse because she was mild compared to many members of her family. They had been raised by a raging alcoholic who beat them. And so I just didn't consider my mother's issues like that. And that was the way it was. You know, I kept thinking that we're different, we're okay, and that, you know, just like the last share, that lie I told myself for some 50-odd years kept me in the food, led me to the food time and time again. And as someone else expressed the other earlier, I didn't even know why I was eating. I had no idea why I was eating. I was just eating. And when I went back to see my family this time, I was so grateful because, you know, they could see my recovery. You know, I didn't talk recovery to them, but I did tell them that I go to these meetings, and I did tell them that I, you know, I'm still very overweight, you know, and I have nothing on any of them, but compulsive eating and alcoholism is rampant in our family. And that, you know, I just remembered my sponsor telling me years ago when I was crying and sobbing about recognizing this stuff and so ashamed to share it with anyone. I was afraid to share it with members of my family because I was afraid they wouldn't believe me. And she just said, you know, you're building a new foundation. This is all going to be a new foundation. You're tearing down the old house and you're building a new one. And it's all okay. It's going to be okay. And on this trip, my cousins came to me and they said, we know about what happened to you. And I guess one of my aunts had told them, and I'll wrap up. And we understand. And that is, like, so amazing to me. And I'll pass.
Thank you, Patty T. You are our last share today. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Carrie S. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thank you, Gina, for your service. This is Carrie S., gratefully recovered in Golden, Colorado. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right. And great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.